Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batsu with Eric Berger, senior space writer for Ars Technica. I recommend the magazine because it's got all these things I don't understand in it. I love to read that kind of thing. But also Eric's reporting keeps you up to date on space engineering. Elon Musk at SpaceX is the go-to space engineering right now. Didn't start out that way in the early part of the 21st century. All the sovereign powers dominated space, big space, including the U.S. and Russia. China's the newcomer. There are other programs, but commercial space is now so routine, it's sometimes difficult to remember 10 years ago when it wasn't routine. We're going now to NASA, trusting Elon Musk's innovators on the scene. You know, there's a lot of improv at SpaceX. They don't have a huge number of people to assign to any particular task. When they launched a red Tesla into space, they put a sheet up in the corner of the factory, and that was their secret keeping of the payload. So we're not looking at something like Boeing, but that's important here. Boeing is a troubled company now. Once, however, it was understood by NASA to be the supreme builder of anything we need to get to the moon, to get into low Earth orbit. And SpaceX and NASA and another company called Sierra Nevada that has a neat machine called Dreamcatcher.
Chaser,
thank you. We're competing for the contract from NASA for a manned spacecraft. Eric, you say without Boeing, this doesn't happen. How is that?
Well, NASA was trying to figure out how to get astronauts into orbit after the retirement of the space shuttle. And they were able to get some money. The incoming Obama administration was able to tuck some money into the sort of reconstruction money after the housing crash in 2008. But to get real funding from Congress for the program, Congress had to believe that it was going to be successful. And certainly they were not ready to bet on SpaceX. There were a lot of people in Congress then who did not have any faith in the company at all. And so Boeing stepped up in 2010 and 2011 and said, we will participate in this commercial crew program. We will attempt to build a spacecraft as well. And that Boeing does a lot of lobbying in Congress. And so it had a lot of friends on the Hill. And so when Boeing stepped up, it legitimized the commercial crew program, and that really unlocked funding for it to flow to NASA that ultimately led to the competition you talked about between Boeing, SpaceX, and Sierra Nevada. And then in 2014, there was this pivotal meeting where NASA ultimately decided to go with Boeing and yes, a second contract for SpaceX as well.
Yes, and the meeting that Eric reports on is revelatory of how NASA moves. And why it's so careful. It is the government. And it has checks and balances that SpaceX doesn't have time for. And so SpaceX is always, I sometimes imagine it, it's David Copperfield saying, more please. You know, it wants to be fed more. And NASA and Congress are reluctant, always reluctant. However, they do participate in the building of a manned spacecraft. It is not straightforward. For example, the parachutes. The parachutes, it was a team of young people who went into the desert for weeks at a time, as far as I could tell. And essentially, they were primitives camping out in the deserts of Texas or the Southwest somewhere.
It was parts of Arizona, parts of California. Yeah.
And they were experimenting with parachutes. What kind of experiment? What were they doing?
Well, I think it tells you all you need to know that they call themselves the Shoot Show. C-H-U-T-E. They were testing out designs, right? The Cargo Dragon came back to Earth underneath three parachutes, but Crew Dragon was a larger, bulkier vehicle, so you needed four parachutes. And so they were testing out what configuration of those chutes worked, what happened if one of them failed. And they went through a number of failures during those tests, where basically they would do drop tests of Dragon mass vehicles from helicopters, from airplanes at different altitudes to sort of gauge the performance of these parachutes at different speeds and velocities and altitudes.
Now, this is a manned spacecraft, meaning that it has demands that don't exist when you're a cargo spacecraft. They're taking the Dragon design, and they're not going with propulsive reusability, or are they? They do a water landing, so is that understood to be reusability?
Yes, they're recovering it, reusing it. Initially, they wanted to do propulsive landing, where they landed under the power of the engines on the spacecraft, but ultimately NASA convinced Elon and SpaceX that it would take years and years to certify that as a safe way for astronauts to come back to Earth.
And Boeing is also building its Starliner at the same time. And Sierra Nevada, I don't believe, is participating in it at this time. However, there's another craft over here called the Orion. What is that?
So that's NASA's deep space vehicle. It's designed to launch on the NASA's Large Space Launch System rocket. And the purpose of Orion ultimately becomes getting astronauts out to lunar orbit and back from lunar orbit. And when you come back from the moon, you come back at about 20 or 25% higher velocity than you do if you're coming back from low Earth orbit. So you need a much more capable heat shield to withstand that higher reentry speed and heating. So that's a deep space human spacecraft. And with the Commercial Crew Program, NASA is just looking for slightly smaller vehicles to get four astronauts to the International Space Station and back.
However, Musk always is, as you emphasize, much of this is this magical character who shows up now and again and makes demands and then disappears for a while. Then you have to call him up and he makes demands after you've been successful. Musk is impatient with Dragon. He's impatient with NASA. He's impatient in general. Does he imagine that Dragon can be converted into a deep space craft, or is that Starship?
There was a time, certainly, when he viewed that. Around 2015, SpaceX proposed actually to use Dragon to send cargo to Mars. It was a program called Red Dragon. And so that would have been a deep space vehicle. And there have been times where Dragon was thrown about as a possibility to actually fly humans out to the moon. I think at this point, it's pretty clear in Elon's mind that Starship is the vehicle of the future. And so I doubt we see Dragon in any other capability but in low Earth orbit.
We come to the astronauts. Astronauts are named for the Boeing Starliner. Astronauts are named for SpaceX's Dragon. One particular astronaut is these are veteran astronauts.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all experienced.
Very experienced, and they're in competition with each other at the same time. There's a spirit of adventure that has always been with astronauts and cosmonauts and taikonauts, wherever they are. However, one particular astronaut is keen on winning this contest and launching into orbit, but there's great risk involved in the rocket, in the methodology, in the testing. And there's a lot of drama around it, Eric. Was that known? I don't remember. I remember the event, but I don't remember the drama. Was it reported at the time, the risks they were taking?
I don't think so. I mean, look, there's always risk inherent with human spacecraft, right? Especially when you're flying it for the first time. But NASA does its best to sort of always portray the fact that the astronauts are going to be perfectly fine and safe, and there's not that much risk. And so yeah, I think outwardly, publicly, they were trying to put on a brave face, but yeah, behind the scenes, there's a lot of risk, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong. And you know, there was, with that first crew launch, as you mentioned, there was a tornado that touched down a few miles away from the spacecraft. They had to scrub ultimately for weather that day to residual electrical energy in the atmosphere. And yeah, I mean, it's a risk, and especially when you're flying a brand new vehicle.
Yes, and the veteran astronauts reported what it was like inside. They're not riding a heavy. They're not riding a super heavy. They're riding a Block 5. What is that? What was Block 5?
Block 5 was sort of the modern iteration of the Falcon 9 rocket that had been optimized for rapid reuse. And so they had taken all the lessons learned from previous attempts to land, and then they, after the first rockets landed, they cut them open, they looked inside and saw which parts had held up and which parts they really needed to harden to make multiple flights into space. And so the Block 5 rocket was kind of the output of all of that learning.
In other words, it's not enough to put people into space as a private company. It's not enough to put them into space in a spacecraft you've just designed with people dropping parachutes in the desert. No, no, you've got to put them in a Block 5 booster that is reusable. So if having human beings there doesn't interrupt Musk's need to have reusability.
No, it's amazing. Some of the very first rockets, the demo two version rocket that we're talking about, the rocket that carried Jared Isaacman and the Inspiration 4 mission. I mean, some of these rockets went on to fly 20 more times before they were retired or ultimately, as I say, ended, had some kind of problem. So yes, this was the reuse, the background drumbeat for reuse never stops, John.
And it's necessary to get to Mars. That's to build a Mars colony. We're not talking about people wandering around saying, there's my footprint on Mars. We're talking about living there and perhaps perishing there, reproducing there. Now, how are we going to do that? It's called Starship and Super Heavy when we come back. Reentry is the book. Eric Berger is the author. SpaceX, Elon Musk, and the reusable rockets that launched the second space age.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.